Oh, baby. Masters Edition. Not the Masters Preview Edition that we had last time, but the actual Masters Edition of The Golf Show. Brent Gunning, Sam McKee alongside with me. And, of course, The Golf Show is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to the uncommon performance in a Subaru with legendary, symmetrical, full-time, all-wheel drive. As always, very, very happy to have the folks on Subaru on board this year. You might need some all-wheel drive out there, full-time all-wheel drive at the Masters. A lot to get into out there. But Sam McKee, we have plenty to get into. You know, you're going to give us a weather report. But it's a big day in the city last night. And I have written down on my notes here, let McKee be McKee for a couple minutes. So, Sammy, how you doing? How you feeling?
Oh, I feel great. I was a good boy at the Jays game last night. Nothing too crazy.
Now, hold on. Pulling back the curtain. Were you a good boy because you were a good boy? Or were you a good boy because the lines were a little long?
The lines last night were insane. But I was just a good boy. Yeah, unbelievable night at the Jays game last night. Just a really fun team by all accounts. They've done some upgrades to the lights and stuff down at the Dome. Feels like a completely different place, quite honestly, which is really hard to explain, but it just really has a different kind of feel down there, more big league than normal, which is hard to explain. Anyways, and the most important thing is the golf guys were out last night. One of my favorite things when I go to the Jays game on a Friday night is to find the golf guys. And, man, I saw at least three or four Tiger hats. I saw some Masters quarter zips, a lot of Titleist hats floating around, a lot of Masters hats floating around. I would set the over-under at 12.5 golf apparel things that I saw looking around in my section last night. So the season is here, and the golf guys are out at the Dome.
I love to hear that. Now, you love to chastise me for wearing my Masters hat, even though I've never been. Were you going up and checking the credentials of guys in Augusta quarter zips? Like, can I please see your ticket stub from 2011 when Charles Schwartzel won? Is that what you were doing?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't checking for stolen valor like you with wearing one. But I have one, too. My buddy on my hockey team got it for me, Vesio. And I never wear it. I wear it once on Masters Thursday. And that's it. Because if I went to Augusta, I would buy the gaudiest rope hat, craziest thing they have, the most expensive, gaudiest hat you can give me, I would buy. And it's just, I don't know. I feel stupid wearing it when I haven't been there. So one of these years when I win the lottery, I will buy a hat and then I'll wear it with pride. There you go.
Our good buddy Ben Ennis, who I believe you were at the game with last night, he hooked me up with my lovely Masters lid, and this thing is pasted to my head from Monday through Sunday of Masters week, because I just need everyone to know I'm the most excited. All right. We've done our Jays fashion report in terms of golf fashion at the Dome. As always, if you're getting out there, let's be honest, not the best day to get out there and play today, but we always know somebody wants to swing them. So if you're out there playing, let us know where you are. 590-590, please include your name and location. Hey, it was beautiful this week, so if you got out at all, let us know. We always want to go there. McKee, I mean, it looks awful out. Do you want to depress us with the weather report, or should we just get right into Tiger?
Well, I'll say it wasn't great when I walked out of my house this morning. I'll say it was probably a solid 5 or 4 degrees, feeling a little cooler, a little bit of precipitation coming in this afternoon. So not the ideal day to play golf. You know what's the ideal day to do? Rot on your couch and watch the pristine golf tournament of the year, the most prestigious place, a tradition unlike any other. Gunner.
Look at you. Somebody we watched a ton of. Let's just get right into it. Tiger, Tiger, Tiger.
Mm.
So I think we all did the thing. You know, we talked about it on our Masters, man, got always.
I was going to say, Leafs on the brain,
Matthews preview pod. He's very good. He'll probably score a goal. There's the preview pod for that. In terms of the Masters preview pod, we were talking about how as the week built, I feel like both of us and a lot of people out there were sitting there going, man, I went from feeling like this is great that he's here to, man, is he in the mix? Is he in contention? And then, you know, he has the round. He has round one. We're all sitting there going, okay, I believe I'm in. I don't know if he's going to win, but he's going to be around. He's going to be a factor. And then yesterday gets off to that slow start. And, you know, that was always the worry with me was, look, you know, Thursday looks great. How's the body going to rebound? How's it going to react to the first full day? Mm-hmm. And early on it looked like, oh, no, it's eating him up. But we had those moments, McKee. I believe you got off the subway to news of back-to-back birdies on the back nine and making a move. Like, it's just, he's still the only guy that can make us feel this way. And look, we all have guys we love. Like, you love Bryce, and I love Rory. We know there's tons of Spieth guys out there, but it's nothing quite like this. And it's just, this is the most Tiger thing of all time that I can say. He was so close to that round being so much better yesterday. It was testy, but he has an eagle chip on 15. It runs long. And then he ends up parring. He had a birdie look on 16. Like, it is amazing how much better it could have been on the back nine. I'm so happy he's in this place.
Would you say that he shot the worst round he could have out there?
Because of the beginning, I wouldn't say that. But he might have shot the worst back nine he could have, honestly. Like, he really left some shots out there.
So, I agree with you. And I watched the highlights this morning of the holes that I missed. And I just have to kind of zoom out here, big picture, Gunner, and just kind of talk about the ridiculous accomplishment what Tiger Woods put together in the last two days.
Tiger Woods.
Was that Marty Turco from Canada?
Yes.
From Marty. Okay, that's great.
I heard that live. That was lovely.
It's a really, really ridiculous accomplishment for him to not have played competitive golf in 13 months after almost losing his foot, leg, whatever you want to call it, in a horrendous car accident. And for him to come out and just show up at Augusta, and the conditions on Thursday weren't really that hard, I don't think. A lot of guys were kind of, you know, going out there playing well. And when it just started yesterday, when I sat down on my couch and I saw the weather and how it was blustery, I saw him with that, the black sweater, made him look old. Mm-hmm. He looked old. And I was like, Jesus, Tiger, like, I don't think this is going to go very well. I just had this bad feeling about it. And for him to do what he did in the first five holes, he went four over through five, and then to grind out a 74, it just, this is almost, even more than him winning in 2019, this, the way his body looks and the way he has come into this, the fact that he's made the cut and he's not even close to the first tee time is a ridiculous accomplishment that just really solidifies his mental fortitude, his ability to beat Tiger Woods, basically. It's just a mind-blowing accomplishment.
Let me rhyme off some guys who didn't make it to the weekend. So these are all guys Tiger Woods has beaten through two rounds of the Masters. And again, he almost had to have his leg amputated in a car crash. Like, we cannot overstate that enough. Jordan Spieth, Brooks Koepka, Xander Schauffele, Bryson DeChambeau, Matt Wolf, and then I'll throw him in here because I was so high on him heading into the Masters. He even beat Abe Anser, just like he did at the President's Cup. But man, it is incredible this run, and that's exactly it. I think the really exciting thing to watch about this from Tiger is we all know what he is, right? He considers himself a golfer, of course, but he's an athlete. He wants to persevere. He wants to strive through. And you can just tell, I'm not saying he's loving the way his body feels out there, but he is loving this story, having to grit through it, having to find a way, being so much less than 100% of himself and still doing this. And then the other thing that lets you believe, and again, we'll get to Scottie Scheffler. He's kind of almost taken the believe in a win away from everybody just because of how well he's playing. But the thing about Woods is it's just, as long as he can kind of keep himself within bounds, get it around the green and have yourself a chance to get up and down, he just knows this place better than anybody. And LaCava knows it better than anybody. The guy on his bag, like the two of them have caddied and played so many rounds at that place. And Tiger doesn't just have the knowledge of what's this slope going to do, but has the knowledge of I have got this in the hole from here so many times before. And it's so fun to watch a different version of this. Like, we always talk about the aging athlete in whatever sport, you know, okay, it's opening day yesterday. If it's a pitcher, a guy loses a little bit on his fastball and you see him become more of an artist. And that's exactly what you're seeing now with Tiger and watching him do this. It's so special. And, you know, I can easily see a world where he finds himself inside the top 10 when this weekend's all said and done.
100%. I couldn't agree with that more, Gunner. And it's just I've texted you when it started and after the first round, and it's remarkable how much different of a person he looks like than when we saw him last, I guess even in 2019 when he was playing well. His swing, the tempo is still there, but it's just so much less powerful. But it's just like you said, him thinking his way around the golf course. And there's been times where, you know, the driver gets squirrely on him and he hasn't hit a lot. Like, I mean, his the greens and regulations. Like, he was not playing good golf at all, and his swing didn't look great, and the tempo was good yesterday, but it was just kind of spraying things all over the place, and he still finds a way to go out there and just shoot a 74 and hang around, make the cut. It's hard to come up with words to describe what those 2 days means to me, even me as a Tiger fan, means to you, but like, it's just so gratifying to be a fan of the guy. You know, he's just given, like, listen, I cheer for a lot of teams and stuff, you know, athletes that have let me down a lot in my life. I'm from Toronto. So to have a guy that gives you, just keeps giving over and over and over, I'm so thankful that we got this. And guess what? I get to go home. He'll be in one of the feature groups here before they tee off. I'll get to watch him again this afternoon into the network coverage at 3:00. It's just a real treat to be able to see this from Tiger Woods. I'm just over the moon. Is so impressed. So impressed. That's all I can say, is I'm just so, so impressed by this.
Yeah, and it is funny, because when you're watching it, you definitely notice it's different. But I'm trying to remember exactly what the shot it is. You and I were texting watching it yesterday, and there are still a couple of times where he says, okay, it's go time. I need to really get after one. And that's when you really notice just how he's swinging it right now, because 95% of his swings are noticeably dialed back a little. Mm-hmm. He's more restrained. His body isn't the same way. Like, I don't know that there's a more perfect juxtaposition of a guy he could have played with yesterday than Niemann. Joaquin Niemann looks like a submariner when he's at impact out there. Yeah, honestly. And Tiger is Tiger can't even watch that with what it would do to hit the feel in his back just watching the way Niemann swings it. It's just so night and day, and it's so fun to get to see this version of Tiger, the gamer, the battler. And of course, like, there's the Ben Hogan story, and again, because of Scheffler, I don't think we're getting that this week, but it's mm-hmm. just it's been amazing to see. Anything else on Woods,
well,
or should we?
You made the pitcher, like the sort of like the CC Sabathia adjustment, yes, kind of thing. I think of it as like a point guard, you know, like maybe I'm a Jason Kidd parallel here from earlier in his career when he was the man passing around, you know, being the whole offense. And then you think of Dallas Mavericks Jason Kidd, and he's just a spot up shooter hitting threes, savvy out there. So I didn't expect to come to the golf show comparing Tiger to Jason Kidd, but sometimes things come to your brain that you got to say. So there you go, Gunner.
First time for everything. Look, we're golf guys, but we are, you know, we're generalists at heart as well. Again, the Masters, it's awesome, and we just love to soak it in. Like, look, I love every golf tournament. I'm sitting here watching it all. I am the guy who's up watching the DP Euro Tour early in the morning. Yes, that's me. But the Masters, it just has this feel. And the thing I always say about it is, and it's really important, the Tiger's in the mix here, because I love golf, but I love golf the most when everybody else loves golf, and he is still the only guy. This is as good a time as any to transition to Scheffler. If you are in it and you're following the game, this is an incredible story. This is a guy who's just vaulted to world number one. He's won 3 of his last 10 starts or something like that. And now he's, looking like a borderline lock to win the Masters entering the weekend. But he still doesn't kind of move the needle for people the way anybody else would. Now, maybe this win is what kind of does it and vaults him into that stratosphere. But, man, Scheffler's a guy you were really high on heading into this weekend. You've loved his square jaw and steel stomach heading into this. But I don't think even you saw this coming from Scheffler.
And just for the 5-stroke lead heading into the weekend, there's some stats from Justin Ray, who's one of the best followers on Twitter.
Scott, all the best stats.
So 36 hole leads of 5+ shots lost in the last 100 years or since 1920. Abe Mitchell in 1920 had a 6-shot lead after the 36 holes at the Open and lost. Harry Cooper had a 5-shot lead at the Masters in 1936 and lost. And Bobby Clampett in 1982 had a 5-shot lead at the Open and lost it. Other 13 instances, the leader went on to win. So, yeah, I have to say that I do have some financial incentive on Scottie Scheffler to win the match. I do. I have a little piece of him, which is an exciting feeling when he's got a 5-shot lead going in the weekend. But my drama sort of narrative loving self, it's not what you wanted, really. Like, I love that Scottie Scheffler is playing like this, and I'm a fan of the guy, and I'm really excited that he's going into the weekend. He's just so solid right now, Gunner. The problem, like, he's got a really exciting swing off the tee, and he really whacks it, and he can shape it, but he's just so, it's almost boring how solid he is at the moment. He's just making sure. Fairway, green, putt, fairway, green, putt. Like, you look at that back nine yesterday, I think of 15, where he's just hits it down the middle. Oh, he clears it. He just misses the green a little bit, chips it on, puts it in for birdie. Ho-hum, I'm now at 7 under. Birdie's 16. It's just, it's at the point where it's almost inevitable with him when he's on, when he gets it on the green and he's within 15 feet, it feels like it's going in. He's kind of taken himself to another stratosphere here. I love the guy, but I am a little worried at the lack of drama heading into the weekend. This really does kind of feel like a runaway win, and we don't like those at the Masters.
No, we can't stand them, quite frankly. And the, you know, the problem with it heading into the weekend, if you're looking for some drama, is, yes, look, somebody can go on a run. You know, you look at the group that is right behind him at the leaderboard there. You know, okay, probably not Charles Schwartzel. You know, could Sung Jae get hot? Maybe.
Sorry, Charles, but hopefully
yeah,
not.
Honestly, we've seen it. It was fun. You had a brie for your a barbecue for your champions dinner there. Great.
Oh,
Shea Lowry.
Remember that.
Oh, I know. Only I would remember. I know. It's because I was looking. It's because they always compare it to Mike Weirs and all the lists of like odd champions dinner. And I'm like, it's just two guys who are basically like not from Europe, but aren't from America either. All right. Anyways, completely sidetracked here. You're looking at the group behind him and, you know, can DJ get hot? I don't know. It's just the you need somebody to really, really, really make a move. I honestly feel like in that kind of chasing pack, Cam Smith, I know he's six back, but honestly, of all those guys, he maybe to me feels like the most likely guy, but it's like, I just don't see the player who is coming hot on his heels. You need that guy to go off and you need Scheffler to stumble. And it just feels like the Scheffler stumbling isn't going to happen. Where's the hole that he makes his big, big mistake on? Maybe it's 15. Maybe it's the lengthened 11, but well, it's just, he's got more than enough length for that.
Just ask Jordan Spieth if there's
a hole
he could make a mistake on. God, just a quick aside on Spieth. Are you disliking him more and more? The talking to himself and the hitching around and, you know, he's always moving and talking. I don't know. He seems something about him. I'm liking him less and less.
It's funny you say that because this is just, it's got me thinking. Not that I haven't seen him much this weekend, but, and again, we always say it, shout out to the Masters and all of the coverage and just all the different avenues for you to watch it. I don't feel like I've seen a ton of him, and not that he hasn't been on TV. It's just I'm checking featured groups, or I'm going to, you know, Amen Corner, or I've got my featured group on Masters. Like, it is so amazing how curated this experience is for me that you're asking me that question, and I'm like, yes, I agree with everything you're saying, but it's almost like, haven't seen him. It's like someone asks you, like, it's like an annoying guy is at a party, and you're like, oh, did you get stuck talking to Jeremy? Didn't even know he was there.
Jeremy, that seems like a shot.
I don't know any, so it can't be.
So just to go back to talking about anyone can catch Scotty. So what we need today is Scotty to shoot like a 70 or a 71, and we need Cam Smith or somebody to go nuclear. That's what you need.
Yep.
So I think that's within the realm of possibility. I'm not sure what the conditions are like today. Maybe probably going to be a normal Saturday at the Masters. I don't think it's going to be as blustery as it was yesterday. I don't necessarily see Scheffler stumbling badly, but I don't think we necessarily saw Jordan Spieth stumbling badly. I think it is and especially a guy who has now slept on this lead where it's like, I'm going into the weekend. This is mine. This is a lock, right? Like, there's no way that Scotty Scheffler hasn't let himself think that this is a lock. I mean, like, I read those stats off to you. A 5-stroke lead over 36 holes, you don't blow it very often. It really is almost a lock for you to win. So maybe a guy's never won a major, it's still the Masters. Even if he's won three times already this year, it's still a different thing trying to slip that green jacket on Sunday. So that's what we're holding on to for some drama. But I don't know, man, the way that Scotty's playing, just, it's like I said, it's so solid and it's hard to see him really faltering. Somebody's going to have to come and get it from him, in my opinion.
Well, how about this for an omen? Again, just Justin Ray.
Let me have it.
Unless I say differently, you can just assume that's where all
stats. All stats sponsored by Justin Ray on the Golf Show.
Exactly. Unless I say differently. The reigning world number one world golf ranking began in 1986, has held the 36th lead or co-lead at the Masters twice. The last time was Dustin Johnson in 2020. But the time before that was Greg Norman in 1996, and he finished second. So it's like, hey, he could cruise to the victory like DJ did, and he's crying with Austin, and it's weird. And it won't be November. It's going to be this weekend. Or the collapse is out there. So you mentioned it. That's what happens, right? There is no Scheffler just slowly fades away. It feels like it would be a massive 2-3-hole stretch, and probably right where you said, at A-man corner, 11 and 12 eat you up or something like that. But you need somebody to make a big, big move today, because you need Scheffler to feel like the lead is in jeopardy for him sleeping on it, for him to have the blow up. The only way it happens is between the years. The game is too good. Honestly, it is. Like, it's too consistent. He can do enough things well. He has enough shots. He's putting well enough. It's just everything you could ask for. And the other thing is he's had a great run of major championship play. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but going back to basically when he started playing in majors, heading into on the weekend, he's performed as well as just about anybody there. So that's the other part of it. And, you know, look, we would love Scheffler to kind of join the club, be one of the guys. But I'd love, and quite frankly, need there to be some drama this weekend. Because I look at that pack behind him, and, man, if he's just a couple of shots back, it's a leaderboard you love. And, again, you know, no shots to Charles Schwartzel, but we love Sungjae. We love Shane Lowry, Hideki defending, Harold Varner III. I know you wanted to talk about him. Like, what a great story he's been. DJ. Oh, by the way, Corey Connors inside the top 10. Morikawa, Zal Torres. Like, if he could just stub his toe a little bit, or some of these guys can get off to a hot, hot start today, there's a world because of the quality of the pack behind him. But, man, five shots, it's such a big number.
It really is a big number. So, I just wanted to quickly talk about Cam Smith yesterday, too. Disappointing. Yeah. After the way he played on Thursday, I really thought that it was going to be sort of, oh, you know, Cam's, like, here we go. Everybody was picking him to be the sexy pick. Oh, it's Cam. It's finally time here. And he just really stumbled yesterday out at the start. Hey, grinded on the back nine, birdied 18 to get it to -2. But I was disappointed with our boy Cameron Smith yesterday. I didn't think he played very well.
Well, and the other thing, quite frankly, that you're saying, if you're looking for Scheffler, is we were kind of saying the same thing about Smith after round one, like, oh no, Cam, don't go run away and hide. So
the double on 18 really hurt him there.
It really did. It absolutely nuked him, and you need to have a mistake like that for Scheffler to get everybody back in. I mentioned Harold Varner III there. Awesome sit down he had with Scott Van Pelt on the broadcast, but I'd argue the second best sit down he's done in the last 8 months or so than when we had him on the golf show at the end. You know, he's a guy, came up here to Toronto, do a youth clinic. The game needs more people like him. He is just super honest, super open, kind of wears it all out on his sleeve. And him having a weekend like this can kind of get a little more people to notice him. So also, if you want to be in the mix at the Masters 7 months later, late September interviews on the golf show with Brent Gutting are the time to do it there.
I love that. And yeah, he hit that shot on 13 on Thursday. He almost albatross 13.
Yeah,
it was like inches away from it. And I love, he just seems like, I mean, you talk to the guy, you kind of, you know, you yucked it up, you bumped shoulders with him, but that Butler cabin interview he did, where he was watching some highlights with Van Pelt, what a great guy. And you can just tell, and it's Masters debut, and it's just really nice to see a guy in his Masters debut play this well. And then you go into the Butler cabin, like I said, and he just seems so thankful to be there, so happy to be there. And I love, he's like, oh yeah, that was sick. When he's talking about his own shots, he gets it like, that's probably pretty fun. Getting to sit there with Scott Van Pelt in your Masters debut and watch sick golf shots you hit and talk about them live on TV. That's probably a pretty great feeling. So I was happy for our boy HV3 because he was looking great. Love the little compact golf swing he has. He's just a little, you know, is this all power and, you know, just a little round guy. I love him. I'm a big fan of him. So I'm really happy to see him doing well. And it'd be nice to see him put together a round today to get into the mix for a final pair.
Well, and I know it's more common now, but it's just cool seeing a dude sponsored head-to-toe in Jordan on the golf course.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we know Keegan Bradley has a sponsorship as well, and there was the North Carolina amateur out there this week. But it's just, it's awesome. You know, me and you are big fans of, you know, play golf the way you want to play golf. You know, the hoodie was the start of it all, and I just love it. I know, remember the pearl clutching?
I got to be honest, I'm fully on that now. I wear my hoodie pretty much every time in the morning these days. If we're playing early morning golf, it's always a hoodie.
It's great. One other thing I wanted to touch on, and obviously we'll have a big conversation on the Canadians coming up here when we talk to a third Canadian. That's Adam Stanley, golf content beast. He'll join us in just a second here. But the Canadians, I mean, Mac Hughes, I mentioned it. He finds himself in the bunker on 18 and gets, I mean, can you call it up and down when it's a buck 40 away or whatever, but gets up and down from there.
Can you even see the birdie. Pin from that those that that trap on 18? It's just like the highest wall ever.
Makes birdie, makes cut on the number. That's awesome. Gives himself a chance, makes some money. And you know, look, you want to have those moments in majors. He, of course, is a guy who found himself in the mix. But, man, Connors. I won't go as far as say he owns Augusta because he's made top tens. He hasn't won. But, man, if I would have told you 3 years ago as Corey Connors is playing in, I think, his second Masters at the time, hey, this guy's going to finish top 10 in the next three, you would have been shocked.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you're right. I probably would be. But I got to say, he could have been way better yesterday. He put himself in some great positions, and it's just the putting again.
That's it.
It's just, and I don't want to rag on the guy because everyone knows, but it's just, it's so frustrating. And listen, frustrating for us as Canadian golf fans, I can't imagine how frustrating it is for him when you're just puring everything, just absolute stripe show. And listen, he's going to be maybe top 10 at the Masters here. I'm not saying he's, but this guy could win it every time he tees it up if he was even in the top 50 in putting in the world. Anyways.
Yeah. And well, the thing with putting versus like the whole rest of your game is if you need to make a big change, and look, these pros are so intricate with everything they do, I'm sure it feels like a big change with putting, but it's just, I'm swinging the club 8 inches here. It's going like, it's all just right in here. At least with a swing, you can say, okay, I need to make a huge, big change. And I know you can switch grips and stuff, but it's just putting just feels so finicky. And you're just kind of searching for that secret sauce at all times. Oh, look who I'm talking to here. Old flip flopper on the claw. You know exactly what I'm talking about there with how finicky it is.
Yeah. It ruined my putting stroke. Just looking at the weather today, just for before we go to break in at Augusta, it's not warm today. It's going up to a high of 11 around 3 p.m. Feels like 8 degrees, some 34 kilometer wind gusts. It's not going to be a treat again today. So if we're hoping for maybe a little fallback by Scotty, maybe he catches a breeze at one of the water holes, something happens. But, man, not the ideal conditions. I just found it too hard yesterday. I felt like I went a full hour without seeing a good golf shot. I know I was watching feature groups. It wasn't the full coverage, but, like, it's not what I want from the Masters. I want it to be a little bit receptive and, you know, have big shots and big eagles and birdies dropping. It just felt like a U.S. Open at times yesterday. Everybody was grinding, man. And again, from our statistician, Justin Ray, only 11.2% of the field hit the green in regulation at 11 at Augusta National. That's the lowest green in regulation on any hole in any single round at the Masters over the last 25 years. 11.2. I know 11's hard, but oh my God.
Well, that's what happens when you make a par 4 520 yards and then put a pond right next
and
to the green that you have to cut
right.
it over.
They're all bailing right. That's a dangerous spot because they're all so scared of that water. It's a long shot in, and it's like Dustin Johnson almost got hit there. Like, too hard. Make it a little easier.
Scheffler had an incredible, and then it's such a scary chip because you're chipping downhill towards the pond next to it. I would want, oh man, no parts of it. Well, I want to be so clear about that. I would like all parts of
it. Anyone
out there who has the in,
scull it across the green into the water.
This guy doesn't have an in, but he has played it before. Our good buddy, golf content beast, Adam Stanley. You can read him in the Star this week. He will join us next on The Golf Show. And as always, The Golf Show is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to Uncommon Performance Today Subaru with legendary, symmetrical, full-time, all-wheel drive. Golf Show continues next on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Smart takes on the biggest stories in sports. The Fan Drive Time with Ben Ennis and Stephen Brunt. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into The Golf Show, Brent Gunning and Sam McKee. And as always, The Golf Show is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to the Uncommon Performance in a Subaru with legendary, symmetrical, full-time, all-wheel drive. Oh man, it is the weekend. We've got the Masters on the go. And you know The Golf Show is officially in full swing now because our good buddy Adam Stanley is joining us for the first of 10,000 check-ins this year.
Keep the golf content on, Stanley.
Keep that phone on. Always answer and assume it's us. Adam Stanley, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. I may not be doing as well as Sam after the Blue Jays' effort last night, but I'm doing well regardless. Thanks for having me on, guys. I'm excited to be back and excited for the summer ahead as well.
Quite a game last night, Stanley, and I did my scouting report off the top of the show of all the people there wearing golf apparel. A lot of golf people at the Dome last night. Ton of Masters quarter zips, some Titleist hats.
That's what we needed.
I saw a few Tiger lids, so it was good to see. There was a little crossover going on there. I may or may not have been watching the Masters in my seat around 6:30 before the game started, so it was great. God bless Rogers Anyplace TV. There's a little ad for you.
Amazing. Well, that's what we need. This is the time of the year, though. Brent, you kind of said it off the top. Like, this is the most exciting time in sports, one could argue. I mean, obviously, Raptors in the mix, Leafs in the mix, Jays just started, and it's Masters week. What more could be better?
Well, one thing could be better, and we're getting it too. Not just the Masters, not just the weekend at the Masters, but Tiger Woods is going to play this weekend at the Masters. I don't know what your expectations were heading into it. For me, I went in super cautious. Okay, don't get hurt, both him and me emotionally. Let's both get through this together. And then as the preparation started and you hear from Fred Couples and you hear from all the guys, man, he's hitting it really, really well. I started to believe, even as the tournament started, I don't know that he'd look quite like this. And look, this hasn't been lights out, old school Tiger, but it's been amazing to watch him grind and battle and find little moments of the Tiger magic.
It has been very cool to see what's unfolded the last couple of days, because I don't think that anyone was really questioning Tiger Woods and his golfing output. Like, the swing looked nice last December. The iron game remains to be world class, and of course you can't count out Tiger Woods either on the greens or around the greens, certainly at Augusta National. But the biggest question was, like, how is this guy going to get from shot number one to shot number two to shot number three over and over again, and then get rewarded for the successes of day one by doing it all over again on day two, and now having to do it on day three and day four after finding the weekend? So you could tell that the Tiger, you know, looking in his face, whenever the camera was on his face, here was a guy that was determined, excited, sometimes full of joy, but he was there with a job to do, which I think has now allowed him to, you know, maybe transcend from how much physical pain he's in to realize that he's just out there working. And for us to be able to bear witness and watch that has been pretty neat the last couple of days.
And the thing, Adam, and you can speak to this, was you watched his post-round interview after he finished there in Butler Cabin, and it's just a completely different guy, right? Like, he's obviously way more sort of introspective and just kind of really happy to be there. And you could tell that, like, you never used to see him the way that he's acting now in interviews. It's just, it's really nice to see him almost be just happy and appreciative that he's able to be out there, right?
100%. And I think that we have not, in the 25 years since he first won that Masters in 1997, you know, it's almost as if he has now realized, maybe it's because he's become a father, or maybe it's because, you know, he's realized that he's gotten over this age hump. You know, the guy is still 46 years old and has been broken down and put back together repeatedly. And yet we're hearing him say things like, I'm proud of the fact, I've got it in front of me, I'm proud of the fact that my team got me into this position to even be able to play this week. And had this
sounds
been
like an F1 driver.
Yeah, my team has, like, put my car back together and I'm ready to race again. But we would not have heard something like this, even, you know, after the U.S. Open that he won on one leg. He would have just been ready, you know, to step on guys' necks again. But it sounds like he's just ready to be out there and play. And surprisingly, he's now ready to contend. He's like, I have this job to do. I've made it to the weekend. Now I want to climb the leaderboard.
Yeah. So looking at that leaderboard now, and we were talking about Scottie Scheffler during the first segment of our show, and just talking about what an incredible 2 days that he's put together so far here. If you were going to draw up a recipe for some drama on Saturday and Sunday, who are you looking at from behind him to kind of put something together to chase him down? What are you looking at from Scheffler? Like, he's still sleeping on the 36-hole lead at the Masters for maybe potentially his first major. There's got to be some nerves there. So what are you looking at for some drama from behind him?
Yeah, for a guy that looks as kind of unflappable as Scottie Scheffler, I think your point is extremely well taken. Like, it's still the Masters. The guy's still got to, you know, take this one across the finish line. And yes, okay, fine. He's world number one. No one's going to take that away from you. But winning the Masters, winning the green jacket is on a totally different kind of tier, different kind of upper echelon. And hopefully, if he does win, he'll bring the green jacket to the RBC Canadian Open this summer. But I digress. I like Dustin Johnson to come from behind this week. I like Cam Smith to come from behind this week. And I do like Colin Morikawa. I think Colin Morikawa's got a little bit of fire in him now after opening with a not-so-great round. I think that he's a guy to watch out for this weekend. I say Cam Smith as well because best putter on the planet, you certainly can't count him out, and he's already proven that he's able to go low, not just at Augusta National this week, but he's the only man to ever shoot four rounds in the 60s at this course. But he did that, and he lost to Dustin Johnson. So for some reason, I just think that DJ is the most cool, calm, and collected guy on the PGA Tour, but he will also, you know, go incredibly low and make it look incredibly easy. And this golf course, certainly on the back nine, maybe not today, but certainly on Sunday, is going to be set up for scoring. And I wouldn't be surprised to see somebody like Dustin Johnson shoot a 30 on the back nine, and then all of a sudden get that juice into somebody like Scottie, even though he's up by five right now. The course is built for scoring, and somebody's going to score today and certainly tomorrow as well.
So I'm just looking at the pairings for today. You mentioned Colin Morikawa, Will Zalatoris. Are there going to be any flush shots in that twosome? And and then you look at who Dustin's playing with, and Dustin might strangle Kevin Na by the end of today.
Oh, 1,000,000%. And this is like... this is like, for the folks that don't remember, I mean, they had their little issue a couple years ago, and Na put his hand on his shoulder, and DJ was like, man, get off of me.
Yes.
So I think this is going to be the fewest, you know, over under four words spoken on this twosome. Pound the under.
Yes,
I would agree with that. But that may allow DJ to get himself in his own little world, and then just have himself a nice scoring day. And oh my gosh, the ball striking fiesta that is going to unfold between Will Zalatoris and Colin Morikawa is going to be sweet. But don't sleep on the Corey Connors and Cam Smith group right prior to Morikawa and Zalatoris. They're a couple flushers as well.
If you melded those two guys, you had the number one player in the world.
1,000,000%.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Honestly, the up and down ability of Smith, and then Connors flushing it the way he does. So for anybody who doesn't remember, it was a match play event, and Kevin Na calls Dustin Johnson over not to force a penalty for DJ picking up his mark early, but to just tell DJ that that was not really cool. And as you said, yeah, he looked like he wanted to kill him. It's like he would have been less mad. DJ would have been less mad if he would have just called a penalty on him right then and there. It's like, that's all well and good. It's like, but to tell me, I really, you know, basically to talk to me like you're my dad. That is not cool of Kevin Na from DJ there. You mentioned Connors. We got to talk about it. You know, we always talk going into the Masters. Okay, is it recent form? Is it horses for courses? What is the kind of thing that you know, lets guys compete there? Obviously, it's a little bit of both. But with Connors, I mean, he kind of always has good form going because he's just been on – it's not a heater if this is who you are now. He's just been playing great lately. But you go back, this is a chance for him to finish in the top 10 three straight times. You know, we know the putting is always a little wonky with him, but the fact that he's able to get it done on greens like Augusta, I don't know if it's just he sees it a little differently. I don't know if his ball striking stands out more in a place like this, but it's really fun to kind of pencil in at least one Canadian in contention every year.
Yeah, I think what you said about the ball striking just allows him to continue to be in these kind of positions. And then when he's making putts, he's scoring well. And when he's missing putts, he's kind of just hanging on for dear life. Because, you know, this is a guy who comes into the week third, I believe, on tour in greens and regulation. And he absolutely loves the opportunity to take advantage of Augusta National being a second shot golf course, because Corey Connors is arguably the best second shot hitter of anyone on the planet right now. So lives and dies by the putter. I had this in my story today, but he missed an 8-foot par attempt yesterday, a 6-foot par attempt yesterday, and then he three putted 17 as well, all of which led to bogeys. So you eliminate those, make pars, and Corey would be second alone. You know, he'd be four under par for the championship, and he'd be in the final group today. So tidy those up a little bit. And I don't think that it's out of the realm of possibility that Corey has a nice chance today to move up the leaderboard just because he's comfortable here. He's comfortable with himself. And like I said, you guys reacted to it. Those are little shorties. Like, those aren't like, okay, he missed a bunch of 18 footers. You know, he missed a 6-footer here and an 8-footer there. Those are makeable putts.
If Corey was Tiger Woods in 2008, he would tell us that's the worst round he could have shot out there was the 73 or 74 he finished with yesterday.
All-time line. Yeah.
It was great, but man, there was a moment, I believe it was on 13, he had a long look and he just left it short. If it would have dropped, you're looking at a co-leader of the Masters, and it's amazing to that he keeps finding himself. Of course, the other Canadian there, Mac Hughes, I don't know if you saw, he birdies 18 to make the cut on the number. It's really nice that Hughes kind of continues to find himself, because for a while there, when there was this pack of Canadian guys, and, you know, we'll throw Hadwin in there and Taylor, it felt like they were all, you know, in a barrel of monkeys, and who knows who's going to jump up on any given week. You know, Connors has started to separate himself, kind of a lot of bit, quite frankly, but it's nice to see Hughes make it to the weekend as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up McKenzie, because I was texting him a little bit last night. I had to tell him, I was like, dude, that shot on 18 was sick. And he texts me back and he says, quote, I've got it in front of me, I rarely pump my own tires, but that camera work, it really didn't do it justice, ! It was so, with 5 O's, good.
I love it.
And I said, I was also very much here for the quick recoil. And he says, top by the best on that one, Tiger emoji. So anyways, he seems pretty excited to be able to continue to take advantage of the opportunities that are afforded to him to play in these big time tournaments, because your point is well taken about Corey separating himself, 32 in the world, top ranked Canadian on the PGA Tour, but Mac Hughes is number 2. Mac Hughes is a winner on the PGA Tour already, and you know, he wants to continue to give himself the chance to be competitive at big time events like the Masters. And I think shots like what he hit on 18 from the fairway bunker to 9 feet to make a birdie, to make the cut on the weekend, just kind of gives him that extra juice to know that, you know, I belong here. I am part of this conversation. I'm excited to see where I end up again at the Masters, the biggest event that we have in pro golf, and just continue to grow.
And just a beautiful moment of a good Canadian boy being self-deprecating after his wild McKee-esque shank on 15, and then just waving to the crowd and them all. That honestly put just a big smile on my face, because there's not a lot of guys on tour that would do that, and that's just a quintessentially Canadian thing that I absolutely loved.
Quick tip of the cap and yeah, move right on, and off we went. So it, you know, get you a guy that can do both.
Yes.
The wedge shank and then the unbelievable out of this world fairway bunker approach to under 10 feet to make a birdie to find the weekend at Augusta National.
Amazing. So I just quickly, before we let you go, Adam, I got to say that the lengthening of 15 and 11 is just the hardest hole in the history of golf. To me,
okay.
15 is, I don't know, there's just sort of ebbs and flows to Augusta. You know, you think of 13 where it's a chance to get a birdie. 14, you got to survive it. Get to 15, there's another chance for a birdie. It being so much harder to me is kind of, I don't know, it just feels a little dirty. I get these guys hit it long, but do you feel the same way, or am I on an island here? I don't know. Maybe it was the conditions yesterday, but it felt way too hard. It felt like I sat there for an hour and didn't see a good golf shot. Like, it seems much harder than it should.
11, I don't know why they made 11 harder. 11 was already the hardest hole on the course and ranked.
They're like, it's got to be the hardest in the world now.
I think it was ranked in the top 5 most hardest hole in the PGA Tour, and now it's just that much more difficult. But I think 10's, quote, easy in the grand scheme of things, so 11's hard. You know, 12's hard. 12's not a pushover. 12's hard. 13 has become pretty easy. 14 is hard, and then 15 is hard again. And I don't know the strategy behind it, other than they just want the guys to try to take advantage of the, of the lay of the land, of the contours a little bit. But that just makes that hole much more difficult. You are going to be rewarded for hitting 2 or maybe 3 really good shots. And I guess at the end of the day, that's what major championship golf is all about. Where they put the pin on Sunday on 15, I think that'll kind of determine how the changes will be received moving forward, because I think you're absolutely right. By the time we get to the back nine on Sunday, the guys just want to see red. The guys just want to see circles. And if you're going to make that hole extremely difficult, you kind of ruin some of the excitement of the back nine on Sunday at the Masters.
Yeah, I just picture so many awesome shots, second shots into the green there. You know, the ones that you go in your mind, you think of Tiger spinning it and walking, you think of Sergio banging it off the pin there. Like, it's just such an explosive hole for a really big time at my favorite major championship. I just hate that they made it longer. So there's my little
gripe. What did you guys rank as your top? You guys did a hole-by-hole power ranking. Which ones did you guys rank on top?
And, well, we had to have a front nine hole in it as well in our draft. So, Gunner, you can do your three. Do you remember?
No, I can't, because we did a snake draft. You took 12-1, I took 13-2, and then honestly, it's all kind of a blur after that.
I can remember mine. I went 12 first overall, and then I went 8 second overall, and then I went 18 third overall. Was my three.
Wow. Yeah. 8. Okay. Interesting.
Well, we threw in the front nine hole. I took 2. I know. We're both so original taking the par fives on the front. Us really original
but
guys.
I had, 18. It's the closing hole at the signature golf tournament in the world. And speaking of hard holes, every time you watch it, it feels like that little chute gets tighter. It's like, I can't believe it. Anyways.
Well, Adam, you've opened the door here. I mean, we have our rankings as guys who have, watched it on TV, but, you played it. So your ranking, what's the best hole at Augusta?
To play, the best hole at Augusta was number 10, to be honest. I didn't really think much about number 10 on TV, but then you actually sling one around the corner and you're walking down the hill and you're about to enter, the back nine at Augusta National. And I just got a massively increased appreciation for number 10.
I got a massive what? Anyways.
Whoa, it is before 10 o'clock. Hello.
That's a big sling. I'd aim towards the cabin and just let it rip around that corner. Oh, I can just picture the shot in my mind.
Twisted the knife.
10 would be my number one overall, number 12, obviously. And then on the front nine, I think you got to go, honestly, I would go with number one, because again, you think about nostalgia, you think about just iconic places in the sport. Everybody knows that first hole because they always see it, and they always see it because Tiger Woods blows it into the pine straw
or into the bunker or something.
So the first time you see the fairway on that, you're like, oh, this is what this looks like.
Oh, awesome. Stanley, we could do this all day, and it sounds like you'll be joining us on our Masters preview pod next year because you have a lot to add. Yeah, let's play some golf this summer. Adam Stanley, golf content beast. Check out his work in the Toronto Star this week. Thanks so much for joining us there. We love talking to Stanley, and I hope you like hearing him because you're going to hear a ton of him on the golf show this year. McKee, Masters weekend. Let me ask it this way. Mm-hmm. How many shots does Scottie Scheffler win by?
2.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Get out of my head, McKee. And 2. Then I have go ahead.
And who do you have in the final pair with him tomorrow?
I think Cam Smith makes a move today. Okay. That felt like a day yesterday where he says, nope, got to get it back on track. Putter
survived.
Gets hot. Yep, exactly. What about you?
I'm going to go with a final pairing of Colin Morikawa and Scottie Scheffler.
That'd be quite lovely. I'd sign up for that.
I really think the way that he started striking it yesterday, how does he ever hit a bad shot with that swing? Mount Morikawa. It's beautiful.
Quick note at the end there also, how nice was it to hear Mac Hughes just as fired up about his shot as I was there?
That's awesome.
Him putting several O's and a tiger emoji in the text, that's everything you want to hear. And I have to think he was spurned on a little by Austin Matthews hitting franchise records this week.
You know he did.
Let's hope we have some big sellies like that this weekend. Masters weekend, as always, brought to you by the folks at Subaru. Thanks so much for listening. It's been the Golf Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.